This is a production of Cornell University.
Okay, good afternoon. Today's Monday, October 15th, meeting of the Employee Assembly. I'll call the meeting to order. And before we dive in, are there any additions to today's agenda? No. Okay, then I'll move right into business of the day, which is a conversation with President Scorton and Vice President Mary Opperman. And thank you for coming. Also want to thank you for the lovely address that you did last week for us. Really appreciate that. And I think for every staff member who has heard this, thank you for Christmas Eve off. I think it's really appreciated.
So I want to turn the tables and thank you, especially the EA and Simon, for having the annual time that I think I'm here share some thoughts with the staff and hear from the staff. In addition to those questions that we took that day, I've already gotten a little flurry of email questions. Some people were, you know, they prefer to do it privately, and other ones were follow-ups, like they prior wrote me with some more information about the site's program, that landscape architecture, sustainability program. So I'm endlessly grateful that we had that chance. And it does tend, I think, to give us more questions from people just because they hear that we want to do it. So I thank you guys for setting that up. The other thing I want to thank you for is the very straightforward and courageous feedback that we've gotten from the staff survey about how we're doing on campus planning for staff. And it can't be straightening the shoulder enough for my taste. The more we hear what people are really thinking, the more we can begin to even hope to be able to do issues. So that's basically it. I really want to hear what you want to talk about, ask about, straighten out about. Maybe just one more super quick thing. Everywhere I go, I'm telling people about the respect at Cornell, all my employees, and also what Alan and Laura Parker and others perhaps are doing in the different groups. We had a good session with the 300-day involved group, and just encouraging everyone to think about trying to participate in this possible. It's very worthwhile. And I've been in the business a long time, but I've learned stuff both from the online and from the conversation. So I'm all ears.
Does anybody want to jump in and start? Should I just sit quiet? Somebody else
jump in and start. All right, go ahead. Thank you, Bridget.
I'll start with an easy one. I had been approached by several employees wondering if there was going to be another early retirement incentive coming out for next year.
We don't have any immediate plans to do that. Mary, do you want to have another SRI?
Not likely, no. We have reached a point, I think, where our staffing levels are very competitive. We really never can say for sure on the state side, but I'm not seeing the likelihood of it at this point.
Bridget?
What are we doing as a whole and as a university to make our branding more favorable in light of all of the instances that have happened over the past couple of years? I know I've been doing a lot of college visits with my daughter, and on some of these visits, people have made intermissions and actually made comments about the negative impact that that has had on us.
So this is really a super question, and I'll tell you the things I'm confused about and then I'll tell you what we're trying to do. I'm confused because I do this kind of speed that it's very valuable for you. Sorry. the data suggests that if anything,
and that's what I've responded to people.
But still, even buried in that 38,000 undergraduate applicants for 3,100 spots, even if buried in there, there's people who are wondering about it, it could have been 40,000. It's going to be that the yield from those who accept is lower. I think it's still very important. And so it's a fine line. You want to put out word about all the terrific things happening, but you don't want it to be or to smell like this is advertising trying to put it over on people. So I think that it's important that, but I'd love to hear your feedback on this, yours and anybody's. I think it's important that we're open about the problems that we're having, and that the fact that Mary, you know, was talking about it, and we work together. One of the things she's talking is that it's important to let people know that we don't have all the answers, and that we need a lot of answers from the community. And so that's the tact that I'm trying to take. And in terms of the suicides, mental health, board safety, those things, I think the combination of Mary's colleagues and Vice President Murphy's colleagues have really moved the line in the right direction quickly. A lot of work from people all over the campus. On the climate issues that are occurring, that occurred at the beginning of this semester, the bias incidents and the attempted and the actual sexual assaults, we're taking a deep breath and looking again. I was thinking about again about the respect for Cornell. Should we do something to amp up the training programs that we have? Should some of those programs be made mandatory no matter what people may think about that? It's a huge decision to make, which we haven't made. Right now we're doing quite a bully's fault. I was very impressed, of course, in telling everybody to push back to the Senate. I have a daily Sun column on Friday and talking about the course in the Sun column. But I really don't know what they have input from the media about that aspect of things, just like I asked back in the Senate the other day. And that was the one thing I was going to ask at the end, since you brought it up. What could we be doing better now in communicating? Once again, about the bias and violence incidents that you heard this particular semester. Communicating, asking questions, town hall meetings, other kinds of meetings, ad hoc groups, regular groups. So far I've talked to SA, now the EA, and the Faculty Senate, and I'll talk to the GPSA. And out of every one of these meetings, either at the meeting or afterwards, have come some very useful ideas. So that's sort of where we're going.
I think that was actually a great question, and that kind of follows up to a concern I have definitely with the bias response and the whole Cornell response.
Yep.
And I think the concern I had with it is that I don't feel like it's Cornell responding, but just Cornell Student Affairs response. And by that I mean, like, yes, I hear this, you know, the Susan Murphy response. I see, you know, the Renee Alexander, maybe the conversation with A.T. Miller. I get a lot of emails from my school, being the college associate, from students about these, but I felt like there's no response from the staff or for the faculty. And for a person who identifies as color, queer, I always have concerns. Like, tonight I'm going to be walking to my car because I'm leaving at 9 o'clock. And so what kind of safety measures and about, you know, ideas of respect are going on even to that level? And so, you know, I was really disappointed because I felt like, yeah, Student Affairs is responding, but are we hearing it from the whole community? Did I ever get an email from my HR director like, you know, we do care about respect, tolerance, and things like that, or from our dean, or from even my supervisor about these things? So I think that, you know, it's not really Cornell responding, I feel, but just Cornell Student Affairs responding and only responding to the students' concerns and not recognizing that there's other members of the community who identify with those groups, who are impacted by those groups, and how do we view that?
That's great.
Really good, really, really good feedback. Mm-hmm. There have been a couple of these things. It doesn't mean anyone invalidates the point you're making, but Lance Collins, for example, sent something out of engineering with the bias incidents, specifically to the faculty staff that studies in engineering. But they've been ad hoc like that.
So the note that Susan and I sent was to all staff and faculty as well as to the students, and then Kathy Zoner's notes have been to the entire campus. So what I think what might be helpful is very specific suggestions you might have.
Well, when I read those, it was more addressed to the students, even though I saw myself copying it. But like, you know, we're a caring community as a student, da da da. I want to remind. And so I never heard a mention, at least in the emails I got, it might be different, that like, you know, staff, faculty, we are all here as part of. But it was, and then even the resources that were touted, at least what I saw was more like Gannett, CAS. But was the faculty, employee, staff, assistant program, like hearing those things, like you are also okay to talk to your supervisor,
yep.
Those HR, I mean, I didn't see those.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, maybe and also that you could avail yourself.
Yeah.
Right. The blue light. Right.
Yeah. So, you know, we're doing the daily sun column to make sure that that's in there.
Right. That's good feedback. Because the messages were sent to everyone, but I think that's a good point. They were really targeted to.
Yeah, it's a very good point. Yeah. And I have to admit, maybe I got tunnel vision about that piece of the students were the ones immediately affected by the worst symptoms. But except for me saying a couple times in articles and in public that I too am vulnerable and so on, to talk about it broadly is really important. Yeah. So we'll do that. It's perfect timing to as we're working on this thing. Study some of it tomorrow, Friday, Wednesday.
Has there been any talk of like a neighborhood watch? Or something along those lines.
Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, actually, the concept of the neighborhood watch was suggested, and we actually have a version of that in the auxiliary police, which is something that Dave Honan in the CCD runs, and we are always looking for additional auxiliary police. They're civilian folks that we train, and we're always looking for people who can help with
because I know Cornell and Ithaca both have very robust martial arts backgrounds. I just got an email today, the wellness program offering martial arts performances and things like that. So I think there's possibility for outreach there, as well as training to empower students so they don't feel as helpless.
Right. We have three programs in self-defense that we offer.
Mm-hmm.
What we need help with is getting the program marketed.
Right.
So we have them, we don't have good attendance, so we're trying to get some help in getting those marketed.
Where have you marketed so far?
I have to get back to you, but they're clearly not getting out. We get a good spike in the first, for a while, and then they drop off. So either we're not offering them at the right time, something's not.
Do students 18 and over have the potential to be auxiliary?
Yep,
okay.
They do.
So can I comment, though? A lot of services are being offered. A lot of services are being offered. And a lot of people have taken advantage of them, but nothing like the group that could. And I think there's two factors. Maybe I don't have a chance to talk this over, but one is what you said, Mary, that maybe the timing or the magnitude of people's availability and so on could be optimized. I would argue with that. Second is, there is a certain constituency that you probably read in the Daily Sun. I've gotten a lot of feedback directly in my email. People think it's terrible to talk about locking your door, doing self-defense, being careful of walking alone at night, and so on. But that's tantamount to blaming the victim, which I personally think is not accurate. But you should know that there are people on campus who feel that the answer is somewhere deeper in the culture. And my point of view is that that's accurate. But while all of us are hoping and praying to change the culture, in the meantime, do something else. And then the last thing is, I think in general, how we have set up, and I should take it on myself, access to information on the website, it's not that it's off-putting, but you have to want to find it. And then if you put it right up front, for example, right on the home page, there was a thing about safety. You have to be careful not to make it seem like the campus is under siege or something like that. And so I promise you, Mary, Tommy Bruce, Susan Murphy, their colleagues, Casey, Owen, professionals are thinking about these things. But the fact that you would say it means that, and you guys are much more involved right, because you're on the EA, means that probably that dismiss what Mary's talking about, much more important position. Has to be a part of it.
Well, my questions are somewhat forward, and I think that's because I'm involved with martial arts on and off campus. So I feel like I have networks I could reach out to.
Yeah.
If you're having trouble with attendance, I don't think that would be a problem.
What's your martial art, by the way?
Jiu-Jitsu, the Cornell Club, and then Ultimate Athletics.
That's great.
So it's non-striking.
And also, Albert, isn't part of our martial arts not allowing yourself to be in a compromising
situation? Right, it's very much preventative.
Yeah. By the way, not trying to manipulate anybody, but if you believed in that message about, you know, be smart and stay out of it, you bring somebody else in that, besides me. Because I think that there's a certain attitude that is blaming the victim to take preventive action. It's sort of counterproductive.
Right.
So, you know, whatever you feel like. Maybe
your next newsletter, you could
Yeah, there's, and you know, there's programs the university runs, but there's also programming that, you know, if you know of programs that are available, people can choose to take an addition. We should not just promote what the university does, but promote other things that are going on downtown.
This reminds me of an important thing. On the issues, one Curtis brought up in this last set of issues, we're also reaching out to people in the city because, you know, there's this boundary and we'll walk off the campus, but there's no boundary to the bias and things. So I should say that we're doing it.
I heard a few weeks ago they actually apprehended somebody, but it sounded like he was not part of the Cornell community, and in terms of changing the culture, I wonder how much of the culture is specific to Cornell as it is surrounding the university.
So, the very first bias incident had an apprehension right away, and that was not a member of the Cornell. And I think part of what we struggle with, and we always do, is the extent to which our issues related to culture and climate have to do with Cornell community and how much it has to do with the culture.
Great, thank you.
Thanks for bringing this stuff up. If you had, if you personally had information about things out of the community, like Mary was mentioning, you know, my writing is good.
Absolutely.
Wow.
I feel like I have a lot to say. There's, I guess, one comment and then another question, so I hope this will. The one concern I'm noticing is definitely as we recruit more younger faculty, staff to come to the community, we're finding it very difficult to find affordable housing that is at adequate living standards. And so I would just like that to be known. I was just in Miami, and the same amount I'm paying for rent here for a crappy one-bedroom, my friends were in nice, you know, ocean view apartments with washer and dryers in the room. And I mean, I think, you know, I'm here because of the students and because of my job, but when I keep on seeing faces like that, I see why people leave Cornell, and it becomes a revolving door. So if we can really work on the issue of affordable housing, we'll be...
So we have made some movement in this direction. We have a workforce housing initiative that you may have read about. So some have been going in the Hunts Plain area that should help for the program. There's also some new housing going in by the some condos going in right by the farmers market. But what might be helpful to get to your point? I can talk to real estate about this. There's quite a bit of housing development going on right in the area of what I would call affordable, attractive housing for our workforce. It might be good if we could get one place where you could go and look at all of these new developments and new opportunities. Work with real estate and maybe show you what they can like because it's pretty hard to find it all.
Or if the housing does go up, it's gone in like 20 days.
I think there's actually, it's definitely a problem. Even during the worst of the recession, we were having all these dislocations. Nice recommendation and others, we continue to put. About 400,000 a year. And it's beginning to bear a little fruit, but there is no, well, I shouldn't say there isn't very much. There isn't, like we talked about for the other issue, you have to punch around a lot to find it.
The Hunt's Lane development is actually Cornell owned. And it is a set aside Cornell, so it won't get keeping up quite as quickly. So it will, it has as its focus a workforce. It won't meet all of our needs, but it's the first in what had, prior to 2008, was the start of what we had hoped to be a workforce project. Series of initiatives, so we still focus on that. So we're going to get back to that. There is absolutely a gap in the workforce in housing area. We knew that when we started to renewal, people want to be in a sort of a geographic distance from the campus, and it's very hard to find housing if you're looking for either a condo or a townhouse or anything small to medium with a moderate amount of
income. One thing that slowed it down, two things slowed it down that I decided to do that hopefully won't last, you know, forever. One is to stop borrowing money to build things. And, you know, for the obvious reason of the university being so leveraged, that we quadrupled the university's debt between 2000 and quadrupled it. Then the second thing is not taking as much money as we might have in other years, but things are more out of regular operating parts of the university to preserve jobs to the extent possible. But we're back in balance as of this year, and even then, work has gone on, but at a lower level. And so it's really important to receive feedback, and we can work on the clearinghouse we're talking about in this place.
Actually, to Tom Levigny, so we can try to get in real estate, just at least to try to get one place where we can see at least what's available.
You can imagine a website with pictures, just like a real team.
That would be awesome.
At least in the start, see everything.
Yeah, if you don't mind, it kind of ties in. Along with affordable housing, for us who actually have been here for a while, maybe have a home already, it's the tax burden that's really starting to become a big issue. And I didn't know if you wanted to comment on any of the recent suggestions from the mayor of Ithaca and his, you know, wanting Cornell to contribute more to the tax.
Yeah, I just want to be direct with you, like I always am. I just can't see taking serious amounts of money out of the campus when we're just barely balanced. Because, I mean, it seems like I'm pandering to say this to the VA, but I wouldn't lay one single person off the campus would do it. I'll say something else for whatever it's worth. I'm hearing something from me later. Don't say stuff like that. so far, the city and the county have not reduced workforce like we have. I'm not saying they should. There's a lot of controversy about the police and the fire. But we've taken a big hit. Mm-hmm. Big hit. We're down 930 positions. You know, about half through the SRI. A little less than half. And the layoffs, as you guys know, and a lot of positions canceled. And so I'm beginning to see a point, you know, where there's no light at the end of the tunnel. Mm-hmm. And we might have enough growth and clarity to do it. But we contribute a lot in the community by the fact that we have this enormous pool of workforce and we're the third largest taxpayer in the county.
And it might be good to remind employees of that because I think they're just hearing one side of the story.
So just for the branding point a little bit, one of our collective challenges is that we're an incredible community at very detailed problem analysis, particularly when the problem is Cornell. We aren't quite as effective at celebration, particularly when the point of celebration is Cornell. So since we are oftentimes the author of the generators of the problem analysis, we could also choose to be the authors of the celebration, but we don't often choose to do that. So I think we have choices as the constant in the room, from my busy Belton's room, about how we choose to frame what we choose to frame about the universe.
And we make those decisions each and every time we talk about the university and how we market and brand ourselves in the local community and broader. So I think it's a struggle because we have lots of things we have to work on, lots of things that we have to do better. But it's such a small community and we're the source of the news. And so we don't keep private how much we contribute to this community. We don't hide it or make a secret of it. It's millions of dollars. We're a third owner of TCAT. That's millions of dollars. We contribute lots of money to fire, to school, millions of dollars. Yet it's almost never, accounted for in the public. And if we do, we struggle with how that's interpreted and what's said. The pot of money at the university is all of the trajectories for our revenues are either flat or slightly declining with the exception of tuition. And we have to be thoughtful about what the public is saying about the cost of higher ed. And so when we're pressed to put more money into something like, pay and work taxes, we have to recognize the single biggest cost in the university are people. And we're stressed as it is to get all of our work done. We're trying very hard to balance all of the different messages that we get.
One time in another setting, another state, I tried to do an analysis of what the balance of payments would be if an institution paid more money in nonprofit and taxes and had to reduce the workforce equivalently. Mm-hmm. What would the negative economic impact of reducing the workforce be in terms of goods and services purchased, housing granted or purchased, and so on? And it dissolved into a bunch of economists, which I'm not, arguing with each other about the assumptions, how economics are. And you ask somebody, what time is it? They say, what do you mean by that? What time is it? Depends on the time zone. Right? Is it digital or analog or sundial? And we sort of never got to the end of the deal. But I guess the point I'm making is there were things on both sides of the ledger. So that there were reductions in economic impact with a smaller workforce. And I think what Mary said is accurate and very accurate. One more thing I would add is that in most communities like this, there's a lot of communities like this in the country where there's a college or a couple of colleges, and they're in the aggregate the biggest employer. Usually those employers buffer the effects of economic downturn because there's always growth. And the last 3 or 4 years, that's been less the case, right? Because we've actually reduced the workforce and not been able to buffer. There's still a buffering effect, but not like it was. And so I think that people's concerns are, besides the usual tension and respect, I think it's been a tough time in terms of our inability to buffer to the extent that we normally do. And it is true that there's only 2 revenue streams in the whole university that are rock solid. One here that because tuition, and one at medical school, is that patient care funds because the care is so excellent and people just want to go there. Everything else is not only what Mary said, flat or endangered, but dicey right now because of the knuckleheads that all of you elected to Congress. Whatever your party is, whether it's Republican, Democrat, Robbins, whatever it is, you guys are dead on that.
I don't know either, but I guess since we last met with you last spring, the survey results came out and it kind of went to the deans and the VPs and it kind of trickled down through and 3 of us here on the kind of the overall committee to put stuff out. But I'm just curious if you're hearing any kind of general feedback across the campus on, maybe changes that have been positive in different units or pockets of campus. I know nothing overall yet, I don't think, but just curious.
Well, we haven't yet shared the report of the meeting with David because we still.
Yeah.
I just got it.
I'm just thinking more, like I know CALS has been doing meetings and different places, and if they've seen any kind of positive.
So I'll give you the plus and the minus of the part that's on. I mean, unit by unit, where leaders have really taken it seriously, we're getting some good feedback. I think I'm really pleased that some units really read their the not as good part is not every leader took it quite in the same way. And so that's the downside of decentralizing the unit by unit feedback. I will say, I think some harder to measure intangible positives is that the leadership conversations that we have with the team is about respect and about how we treat each other. I don't know how you measure that. Mm-hmm. Those were much harder conversations. First of all, it was a lot harder for me to have than I thought it was going to. So, you know, I've been saying for a while how we treat each other on this campus is something that every person has to check. But as leaders, we have to take responsibility for. And the feedback, the 1,700 comments, talked a lot about that. And we were able to collect that data in a way that then blind it so you couldn't tell where it was coming from, but share it back so that it kind of reinforced some of the things that for years I've been hearing and people have been saying all my life. That was powerful, I think, because I don't think that most leaders see or hear the kind of things that happen in the trenches of the organization. And so I just think they thought that was like me or the person that was telling them that, but it didn't really happen. So I think that was kind of an intangible to get that amount of feedback about how to talk to each other on the campus and what that does to the way people feel about the place. Maybe that's not.
No, I was just curious if, you know, we've talked quite a bit about morale and things like that. I was just wondering if you were seeing kind of a positive light since things have started moving forward.
So I think the fact that people are complaining more, a lot more. I think that's a really good. That's a really positive thing. I think that shows that people are actually believing now that things are stabilizing. Because when it got really quiet, that meant people were afraid that they might lose their job if things said too much. So the fact that I'm getting a lot more complaints now, I'm sure
I think that's actually really good. I got a question for you from Sherry Dollar's question.
Okay.
Can I ask a
question? Sure.
So, as I go around and meet with different groups, you know, I meet with SAG, PSA, EA, USC, and UN. Even with the UN, there's a little bit of interaction, you know, between a couple representatives in each assembly. I always feel like there's a lost opportunity. Maybe I'm just saying that you guys are doing. Do you ever sit down with the faculty leadership, the EA leadership, separate of the UA? Is there any?
We have a rep to the faculty senate, but that's it.
So I'm not trying to cause trouble for anybody, but everywhere I go and ask leaders in your shared governance group that has some issue with another part or is concerned about another part or whatever, I always ask them, do you guys talk to each other? They always say no, except for maybe one rep. So if, for example, in this area of workforce, and the leadership in the area you were talking about is obviously really important, it's also important that the rank and file faculty are thinking about, some of them are principal investigators, like grants or directors and so on. Would you be willing, not just on with the group, if I could throw for some sort of a periodic meeting where you meet with the executive committee or faculty senate, the USC, to talk about some of this?
Sure, absolutely.
Because I don't see that happening.
I don't either, and I think you would be surprised at how many things you actually have in common.
Exactly.
Aside
exactly.
from just disliking the senior leadership.
Right. No, she means not us.
The other.
So you can go with
that? Yeah, absolutely.
So what I'm going to do, if it's really okay, is I'm going to talk to Burns, your counterpart, and just see. And the other thing we're doing is I'm trying to broker the undergraduate student leaders and the faculty leaders mm-hmm. on issues of climate and classroom types. You know, I mean, wherever it makes sense. The only thing I want to know politically, you guys have advised me, does that undercut the UA? Do you understand what I'm saying? Does it undermine the UA to somehow bring people together in other, or should I talk to UA leadership?
I don't. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, there are a number of channels in the UA that it's very difficult to recruit faculty representatives to come to. So I don't know if as part of that, faculty leadership could be encouraged to. There are few volunteers in many different positions to put them in, and that's one area where we always struggle to find enough volunteers.
And you guys, for example, could communicate that to the USC yourself as well, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So you'd be okay with such a meeting?
And I think just it would be nice to be able to sit down with that group because we can then talk about issues that are specific to staff and faculty.
Exactly.
In the UA, you've got so many different issues because students' issues are often different than staff, different than faculty. It'd be nice to kind of just have that opportunity to talk about how we interact.
And then I have a question. Would you agree, Mary, that bureaucrats like the UA should not be at that meeting? She hates that when I call a bureaucrat, just call me a bureaucrat. If you look up the word bureaucrat in the dictionary, there's a picture of me and Mary. She's writing herself a note. Take sharp pencils and get sport
in the I'm writing that this is your
to do. Did they have a star here? It's right here. All the other ones are yours. 26.
I might be reiterating what the administration has been doing quite effectively, but in terms of the bias and sexual assault that happened, I was curious if the admin has been able to leverage the skills of student leaders, like for example the student council at Johnson School. Because I also study at the Johnson School, so I do think that if there is a student leader coming up and delivering a message that it is true that you have to be concerned about safety, but these, just to alleviate their stress and concern and say that it is okay to be in the library until 2:30 in the morning, but just take these measures. I was just wondering about the gap between leveraging the skills of student leaders.
Mm-hmm. So this is really a very interesting to bring this up. Somebody else also who interacts with a specific college brought the same thing up. I think this one went right by me anyway. Probably Murphy has thought about it, but the interactions I've been having are all with sort of the central student leaders or whatever you want to call it, SA. And Dr. Murphy and I have a meeting every several weeks of the individual student leaders, like the SA president, the GTSA president, the two student director trustees, the three leaders, the editor-in-chief, the son, and so on. But they're all sort of in the center, you know what I mean? They're not by colleges. And somebody brought it to my attention that there are active student things. But I wasn't actually aware of how active they were. I knew that there are alumni things and faculty things. And so this is really, really a super, super great idea. And what I think I'll do, it won't be here, I'll talk to Dr. Murphy about either somehow contouring those things that we have, that maybe once in a while we can bring somebody in, rotate from the different colleges with a core student leader group, or something like that, because we haven't touched it at all. She may be doing it that I'm not aware of, but I'll follow up with her on the answer. It's a very important issue. We're not touching those. And by the way, the vast majority of our interactions are with undergrads. We do meet with GTSA. And we even now have somebody representing the MD students from the medical school and the PhD students from the medical school. But the other colleges, other than medical school, there's no specific presence at that table. So it's a really good idea. Thank you.
Because I think we're out of time. It's 1 o'clock.
But Curtis said, too, and we
Oh, okay. That's fine.
My last question, this is going to be really quick. If you can just talk about what, if any, changes are going to be to our health care next year in terms of increase in premium, copay.
You missed that meeting.
Oh, I missed that meeting.
So there
was an
increase
in premium. We're dropping health care.
Yeah, I remember.
So the increase to premium is a small increase if you're moving from the health now to over, I think it's like a 1% increase. If you go from there over to the asset plan, that's right.
He didn't give us numbers. Paul didn't give us numbers.
There were numbers in Paw Prints Chronicle. And yes, you're right. It's like a very small increase going from Health Now to the Cornell Program for Healthy Living and the Aetna PPO. But there's less of an increase for that health savings account.
Yeah. It's like there's nothing over 5. I mean, we were able to hold them back. Well, I know that seems like a lot, but given what's happening to health care nationally and what happened to our plans, the university once again absorbed the majority of the cost. So our plans actually went up by over 11%. We took up more of the cost than the university's plan. We continue to have difficulty with utilization. So we picked up, the university is continuing to pick up a higher cost, share cost. We have overutilization. Yeah, so what's happening is that we have an increased usage by a small percentage of the population for the low catastrophic claims, high cost claims. And so the usage by the university population was up over 6%, but the high cost claims went up 19%. So given the fact that we can't keep pace in our SIP, the university, again, for now several years, is picking up a higher and higher share of the increase to try to fund the increase. So it's getting more and more difficult to do that. And what happens is that in the total compensation availability, it works backwards, right? Because then you have less and less available for the set. There's only so much money to go around. So back to the conversation.
So what advice would you tell, like, young staff members or people who are just trying to save and, you know, make a foot in their professional career with all these increases in different areas?
Yeah, I know we've talked about this, Curtis. This is very difficult because our health plans are incredibly affordable as compared to almost any other place you're going to go. We pick up 90% of the cost of the health care plan. It's almost unheard of in any corporation you're going to go to. We're way above the average for the cost, the share cost that the university picks up, that you almost find no other corporation in the country that still pays that much. So, and every corporation has to pick up health care now. That's the requirement of Obamacare. So I think the best I can tell you is that if we follow the concepts of Obamacare and believe in them, what needs to happen is that prevention needs to start to mitigate the cost of care. So and I believe this because that's what Cornell Program for Healthy Living is all about. If we start to use prevention as the underpinning of care, people start to take care of themselves, rely less on things like prescription drugs and waiting until they're sick, and more on taking care of themselves and moving and eating right and going to the doctor in a preventative way, then the cost of care will begin to come down and eat up less of the available dollars. And that is ultimately what will happen. I absolutely understand this. We hear it all from, this is not a Cornell problem. This is a nationwide crisis in healthcare, which is why Obama chose, and you can argue whether he did the right thing, but that's why he chose during a time when we were losing jobs to focus on healthcare.
I'll be even more bold if I might. I think Obamacare was the right thing to do. I'm a doc. I've been in this school for 35 years. And there's going to be a hump where it'll be worse before it gets better. because of the strictures of it, but it's the national healthcare scene that's shoving this down everybody's throat. There's just no other place in other industrialized country that doesn't give that as a safety net for everybody. So if you have lack of people having a safety net, not only does it cause funny perturbations in the system, but people end up really falling off the table in catastrophic ways, losing their homes, losing their jobs. And so I think it was like way about time. And Obamacare got watered down a lot of the political process,
yeah.
Big time. But I think this is going to go in the right direction. But Mary said about prevention for sure is right, but it won't help in all of the short term. And then the other thing about this community, which I'm really proud of when I first got to know about the benefits, is that in choosing years ago to have very robust share, even though it's still wildly expensive, not arguing that, but to have such a robust share, then what the community is doing is taking care of the sickest members through this way of doing things. It does help the price. But, you know, you do have a safety net by being part of Cornell. But it's a relatively small group still, you know, compared to the size of the country. So
what we did by closing down the plan, and we also closed the 80-20 plan, and then next year we'll close that. We kept more costs from creeping into our plan because they did not meet the requirements of Obamacare. So had we not done that, we would have had to put hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars more into the plan, which would have bankrupted the cost. So we're doing everything we can figure out to do to try to keep those rising costs from rising anymore, hoping that the trajectory will start to change. The best we can figure out to do, and in the meantime, we're trying to blunt those costs by picking up a little bit more of the share without taking so much of it that there's nothing left. It's a tough call.
You know, the wellness stuff that we've done on campus and the CP challenge, I think, for about 3 years, it seems like, you know, sort of squishy stuff. It's unbelievably important what they're doing the same. And the younger you are, the more important it is. Just the opposite of what you think. You think, oh, I'm young and resilient. Just the opposite. There's a lot of evidence that if you start doing this kind of stuff that Mary's talking about when you're young, that you really make a difference. Not only how long you can expect to live, but the quality of life. So that's a pretty hard thing to get across because of all the negative messages. Don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. But it does go in the right direction. So you're asking all these tough questions.
I know, I should have let him have his last one. And we don't have the statutory increases. Those are, as some of you who are on that side know, those come 10, sometimes 8 last minute.
Tanya, thanks for letting us know.
Thank you.
We'll follow up on many, many things that I have to do, and like the one or two things.
Oh, good. And then at 11 o'clock tonight, I'll get the email about the one teacher study.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Good to see you both.
So if folks want to take a second to take a look at our minutes from the last meeting, are there any?
We have 19 minutes.
All right, does anybody have any changes to the meeting minutes? Anyone? Okay, let's make a motion to approve. All second. All in favor? Okay, great. Thank you. Okay, moving right along, we have 19 minutes, so we'll talk briefly and quickly. The Employee Celebration Day, thanks to Al and Bridget and Jeannie and Bob, who were all there at the table with me. We were completely eclipsed by the United Way table that had bags and cups and pens and the whole women's hockey team. So nobody really came to our table.
Just signed it up next to them.
Yes. Two people came to our table. So I think if we do something like that again, we absolutely must have presents.
And that's not to be next to them.
Yeah. And not to be, yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
And then that begs the question, are we just
getting
like
stuff? Right. Yep, absolutely. So, not that we really have to debrief on that much, but that was kind of what came out of it. We had two questions. One person came up and asked if we publicized the president's address to the staff. So I shared the many, many ways that we did. And then another person came up saying that
she was a non-tenured
track employee and didn't think that that pocket of campus was represented. So
non-tenured track employee.
Like a lecturer?
So a lecturer.
Mm-hmm. Non-professorial academic.
Non-professorial academic.
Oh, okay. That's different for the
No, yeah.
No, technically they're considered staff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They lecturers are staff.
Well, she was an extension associate, but not for co-op or for the extension.
Yeah.
So is that different? And she's not covered?
No, they. I believe they are.
Yeah.
Considered staff.
So those were kind of our two questions. Just quickly for an update on the employee survey team, we are meeting with Mary on Friday morning to kind of go over the briefing that we put together, kind of all the recommendations. There's one recommendation that I know is completely going back to the table, right, Beth?
Yes, that would be the wellness recommendation.
So the wellness recommendation we've been pushing is kind of a wellness initiative, but looking at it, kind of bring it back and reincorporate personal professional development within that. So it's not a pocket of time for wellness. It could be a pocket of time for I want to take a class, or I want to do a workshop, or I want to go to the gym, or go for a walk, or whatever. But that would help kind of alleviate the, okay, well, I want 3 hours for wellness, and I want 3 hours for professional development, and I want on top. So that's bringing that back to the table to look at how mm-hmm. they can incorporate that in there.
Yeah, Mary kind of wanted a yes or a no to a time policy, and what I presented was kind of a maybe. But just because the committee proposes a policy doesn't mean it's going to happen. It has to be presented to the senior staff and the deans and all that. So it could be a while, but we are going back to the drawing board to give more of a yes rather than a maybe.
A yes.
Yeah, I think
yes, the yes, there is a policy.
Yes, there's a policy.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we did on the CAL committee, which we put forth a recommendation that each CAL employee be allowed so many hours.
If you could send me that blurb, listeners, if it exists.
It's to the dean.
Oh, so it has.
So it's not approved yet.
Oh, okay.
That was our recommendation.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
But this yeah. isn't a reflection of what engineering's already doing, right? The engineering.
Yeah, we're going to use engineering's template as a template.
Okay. Moving on to old business, we had open forums on here. I don't know if we have anything new on that. No. Care fund auction update. Gemma, were you going to update, or Beth? Anybody want to
update?
Okay.
I can do an update.
Yeah. Go for it.
Care fund auction is going to be blasted everywhere. We're working with Nancy, but it's all online. It's November 1st to the 15th. We have about 150 items already.
Wow.
Departments have been solicited. Local places have been solicited. The care fund fundraising committee has been going crazy, and half of you are on it, and mostly Ruth is just stomping the pavement, and we really need to raise a lot of money because we keep getting applications like crazy for people in crisis, crazy crises.
The last
awful.
Weeks.
We're on
application number 143 right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The last
but we really are... Since it started, it's a year and a half.
Can we just put the United Way and so on also on some of the bad ones?
No, because the United Way gives money not to individuals but to organizations. Mm-hmm. But we do refer people to organizations.
Right.
So can the care fund become a United Way organization? No, so I donate and now count as my United Way organization?
That's a good question.
Yeah, that's a good question. Because
There you go. I would be willing to do that.
I was just going to ask, too, about employees who do make gifts to Cornell. Can you specify the employee care fund?
Absolutely.
Line?
Mm-hmm.
That might be something to message, too, because I know that there are employees that do decide to give back to the university, mm-hmm. so maybe that's a way that they can continue to help folks and still get credit.
The only thing is, when the university is looking for money, like for the annual fund, they want money for the annual fund.
Mm-hmm.
They're not fundraising for the care fund.
Sure.
But we can do that, say, yeah.
So Beth, I was going to put a reminder in Chronicle this week for more items, and again,
mm-hmm.
talk for next week.
Yep, and then we have a link to the auction, and it's just like an eBay auction. It's just going to be great. And this year, all the auctions are ending at different times, mm-hmm. and not the same time, because that really messed people up.
Yeah,
yeah. So, is there that link yet?
No. You know what? I haven't put any items on yet, but as soon as the items are up, I can start sharing the link.
Did we ask President Horton if he's donating the lunch?
Oh, I didn't, but I will email him and ask him.
It's on. Check. It might be on the list. I just don't
know. He wasn't on the department people list, but
yeah,
I'll look.
Just check with Ruth Smirley Doyle.
She. We could, but then I'm just laughing when nobody thinks.
Anyway, if your department hasn't donated, and or yours has, think about what they could offer.
Do you know if you have anything from the veterinary college?
Mm-hmm. Do you have an animal clinic?
Oh, I thought you could
get a animal. I actually have a question back to the EA thing. So right now we have a line item towards pizza for the care fund auction. Could we use that differently in saying like an office, like you can bid on an office pizza party or something, and we can purchase something like that? Is that, I'm looking at Ari, is that something that's allowable?
I thought there was some discussion about using that to cover
the... Did we use the whole thing?
We agreed to use the initial funds for sandwiches.
But otherwise, yes.
And
okay.
It depends how big your office is, though.
Yeah. Right, but we would be basically being a gift certificate. It would be a $50 gift certificate or something like that.
What we would buy.
What we would buy. Whatever it is.
I think we would have to donate as individuals. I don't think we can use funds. Can we use funds to?
Well, if other departments.
Create a
fund.
Where do funds come from?
Oh, we can sponsor. Right, we're sponsoring a lunch.
Oh, awesome. Sounds good.
So we'll take a look at the budget and we can go from there and see if there's something that the EA can do along those lines. But if we could find money in there to do something along those lines, EA members would be in support of that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Can we auction off an EA seat for next year?
We can't give away. You can have a year's worth of free lunches.
Hey, that's
one month. A year's worth of free lunch. Okay, remember that.
That's fun.
Okay, Eric, you want to talk about the new member spotlight?
Yeah, I've been regarding everybody got an email kind of guideline. Should be in your mailbox. Yeah, ready. I have a sign up sheet with the due date that Nancy was so nice to provide me with. So pass this around. Put your name on the date you want to submit your profile, along with your net ID, so I can remind you
yes.
time gets closer.
Can we? If there's going to be two per column, it's only like 250 words.
I've got that written on paper.
It's just like a little introduction, mm-hmm. a little bit. It's not a big deal.
And can we use old pictures?
You can use old pictures.
You can use whatever picture you want.
No pictures.
My high school
pictures.
That would be fun, though.
Email guideline, I'd say, don't like the pictures for the elections. You want me to submit your own?
Bridget?
I just had a question for you since you're here. I thought it was kind of difficult to find on the page where exactly the EA profile was. Is there any way that the EA can get like a side column or something on the home page.
Did you mean online or in print?
Online.
Online. Yeah, I thought the one online was.
If we didn't know that it was going to be there and we weren't looking for it, I don't think anybody. I'm afraid people wouldn't have found it.
What I'd like to do is to put it in with the column section. Did I do that? The last time it wasn't in with all the other articles.
It was down at the bottom.
Okay, so what?
And it didn't really call out employee assembly. I don't recall.
So what I'd like to do is for the future ones is to actually have it a column. You know where we have the wellness and lab as well, and some of those other columns on the right hand side. Then it will be right there front and center. It won't be buried.
Okay, so, I think that would be a good idea if we could get something on the right hand side maybe that called out employee assembly or something like that. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Nice flashy graphic. Have a blink.
No blink, but we can at least do like the logo.
Thank you. Just quickly, a quick debrief on the president's address. Did that seem to go smoothly and well for everyone? Anything? How did for the folks who were taking information, did that seem to work well?
We held people up at the door.
Yeah.
When it started, we were holding people up.
Some people were out on the plaza, and that seemed to work pretty well. Yeah. I think it
would have been smart to go out on the plaza after everybody grabbed their lunch and really done it then, because unless it's raining or something like that, that would have been an ideal time.
Well, we'll have to see if it was worthwhile.
Mm-hmm.
I've had a lot of people in the seat.
Yeah.
At the door there, it got kind of crowded, and I noticed we were holding people up, so I just kind of stopped.
Yeah. Okay.
It looked like we had the right amount of food.
Yeah,
we did. We ended up ordering an extra 100 sandwiches, which I think was good.
Yeah.
And we had a backup plan, which I think we should just institute for the future of having these little $5 certificates. I think that worked really well, and we only get charged if we use them.
I don't know how people felt. I mean, some people commented about how spread out the audience
was. Yeah, I think we would have to, we kind of have to push people out of that back ring and down to the main floor.
When they were coming in the line, I was asking them to fill in the front, please. And what else?
Yeah.
Oh, a lot of people were looking for more. I think they felt empowered by the survey, and they were coming to do more survey, you know, like employee survey stuff than our little, you know, information finding survey.
Mm. Gotcha. I did get a feedback that I don't know if everybody watched the broadcast afterwards. But
yes, I did.
During it, I was told that they could not hear people's questions because they weren't using the microphones. Were they able to fix that?
No, you couldn't hear the questions, and you had to guess by the answer.
Okay, so that's something to remember for next year. People hesitate to use the microphones, but maybe
couple
we'll
be able to hear was first Eric was up this year.
Which is great. Good job, Eric.
What we were surprised in a portion of that is that we gave the awards to a large group of people, and they all wanted to come to become recognized, and they were supporting each other that way.
It was nice to see a lot of people. We've done big groups, and I think it's been consistent. What I think it is that we were 2 months earlier than we were, and it was a beautiful day. I mean, October 5th versus November 28th is a whole different.
Well, last year was the Monday after Thanksgiving.
Yeah, the Monday after Thanksgiving, and even the year before that, it was in early November, and I think once you start getting into November, the weather's not nice, people don't want to come, so I think we should really try and get to early October.
And another part of what we're going to do a debriefing of today, actually tomorrow, is that for that webcast, a huge portion was the lack of microphones. So next year, we would like to have somebody
running
around and fill the queuing up behind the microphones, which is what we usually do there, or have a couple more microphones with runners running around.
Yeah.
I think always work well. Maybe as employee assembly people, we can walk towards the person who raises their hand and hand them a microphone.
Yeah.
I've seen that work very effectively before.
Yeah. I think people get nervous. They're afraid to approach, where students, I think, are much more apt to line up to ask their questions.
I think that the timing was great that we were earlier, but I'm wondering if maybe we could reach out and work with some groups. Now, it was fall break, and so all the dining halls were actually closed, and some of the dining employees were not in, and they weren't scheduled, although I do believe that they also try to do some training during that time period.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if we can reach out ahead of time, if we have at the same time next year, and try to get some more of those non-exempt people in there. Mm-hmm. And work with, you know, dining, if they maybe could do some training that day and then allow and work into that schedule, that would be awesome.
I
think,
like, people were so much nicer and friendly this year.
The weather was great.
Maybe it was the weather.
Well, it was the weather, and it was late in the year, and it was cold.
Polite. Like, I mean, last year I felt like people fetched about the sandwich thing,
Maybe we're changing the culture. Maybe we're changing the culture. Maybe the survey and, you know. We'll just pat ourselves on the back for that. Yeah. And then the last thing. So, Jeannie, do we even want to talk about the six? Okay.
No, we need a topic for personnel committee.
Okay.
So if anyone hears something, ask or something,
we were going to do, they were going to look at sick leave, being able to use that to assist other people, but the sick leave policy may be changing as of January 1st.
One thing I've noticed is that there's a charge for almost anything now you want to do in terms of, like, training and development. You know, even like taking a Excel class or a Microsoft class, and usually you can take it for free. And I think that, I'm like in a manager level, and I think even, you know, I'll take a pause and be like, do I really need to do that? $100, you know, so that might be something.
Maybe looking at the professional development policy kind of thing.
Okay.
They may be thinking that they offer it for free on Skillsoft,
yeah.
So if they want to pay the person to stand in front of you.
No, I understand that, but if there's many people out there with needs,
I need the motivation.
Who,
you know, I could
who,
be
yeah. like
doing Skillsoft.
Yeah.
All right. So one last thing. So since you weren't there, you didn't get your really nice class badge.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
So this is our outstanding service award for Beth McKinney.
Oh. Woo.
I know we set it up to sing, but thank you for all of you.
Oh, thank you.
All right. Anything else for today?
If I could just add real quickly, if anybody has an item for the infrastructure committee, we don't have any charge of it either.
Is that the
one that you're on?
Yep, just the woman who wants a light outside her building.
Well, they're doing the lighting. I'm talking about that. They're doing lights that, yeah.
The kids love the campus lighting ceremony.
Reiterate in some way, if you guys can make right for people to conference or something about that community, the blue light export. I didn't know that. You know what I mean?
I didn't know that either.
Right? Isn't that true?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good question.
I was just going to say, I typically work relatively late, and the crosswalks here, like, just, you know, because people have the right of way, they know that you just have to stop. I think our crosswalks are really poorly lit around campus, because especially when it rains, especially at night.
Some nights that are very, very dark, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah. It's really tough. So if they're doing a lighting survey, I just think it's... Because I leave, you know, when it's dark always.
That's a good point. When is that lighting survey?
Did you get the lighting survey email?
It's already out, yeah.
Well, what day
I might
is it?
Have. I'm sure it's in there.
Because I missed a big
right.
No, but take a look, because I think, if not, talk to Peggy, because I think Peggy sent it out to everyone.
Yeah,
to share.
Yes, she did.
Yeah.
The other thing I was just thinking was...
Peggy Beach.
For the infrastructure, I think we should bring up, like, what are we doing to help improve... the situation regarding these on-campus incidents, because I think there's a lot that we can do. Like we talked about, they apprehended somebody. He had nothing to do with the Cornell community, except for the fact that he was, here, actually taking advantage of it. But I think that there's a lot that we can do to discourage those types of things just by changing the environment around campus. So I think that's probably a large charge of the lighting survey, but I don't know who else is going to be at this meeting and what else can be done.
There's a public safety advisory committee, which I know this is going to be at the top of its agenda, to which the EA has a representative. So Bill, have you gotten a notice?
Notice that I'm on it, yes. There's not a notice that there's...
There should be a meeting organized within the next month. So, and that is intended to be, our state laws that require that committee to be formed, it is intended to be a venue for those issues. Mm-hmm. I also wanted to suggest information technology is a big... Mm-hmm. one of the things campus infrastructure mm-hmm. was intended to address, and I know the IT strategic planning process is going on right now. It might be good to get someone like Steve Schuster or Ted Dodds into one of those committee meetings to deal in detail with those issues.
Okay.
Who usually attends these meetings?
Infrastructure?
Yeah. The members of the committee, which are Pat Blanco, you, me, and a couple of graduate students. And I have yet to receive who is on it for the undergrad.
Yeah.
So I think we need to go ahead and put that message out again and get going on
that. I think reaching out to the people you mentioned is great too.
Hey, Bill, one last thing when the public safety committee meets. It would be good. I don't know if there's university policy, maybe somebody else can say, but if someone is apprehended in your building on campus, that some sort of email should go out saying, we had someone at the Schwartz Center who was hauled off in handcuffs, took three people to haul him off because he was hiding in rooms in the building, scared a faculty member to death when she turned the lights and the guy was sitting in there in the dark, and nothing came out to the employees. And when I asked about it, I was told not to worry about it. And that is a little frightening to know that you're, you know, this person, I don't know if he was detained what he was doing, but if the police was looking for
him. Yeah. They only knew about it because certain coworkers, you know, at the department.
But there should be some sort of process to be able to say a person was, taken out of your building in handcuffs. And if you see a person fitting this description, you should let your facilities coordinator or something know. Because there are many... Right, because they may be back. And now they're mad.
Right.
And, you know, when you're in the building alone at 11 o'clock at night or Sunday afternoon...
That's scary.
You know, it is a little frightening.
And then back to the president's address. Thank you, Bill, very much for all of your hard work. Yeah. Thank you. Very, very, very helpful. I think we need to adjourn.
Yes, I think we do. Motion to adjourn?
Yes.
All right, thank you.
This has been a production of Cornell University, on the web at cornell.edu.